This is Audible.
Ruthless People, written by J.J. McAvoy, narrated by Joel Frumkin.
1.
There are 4 kinds of homicide. Felonious, excusable, justifiable, and praiseworthy. Ambrose Bierce. Liam. So, today was the day. I drank straight from the brandy bottle. Fuck the glass, I was too tired to move.
You plan on sharing?
Natasha asked as she rubbed her body against mine.
Handing her the bottle, I leaned back and watched her pour the liquor down her throat.
God, I was going to miss that throat. But that was about it.
This is such a sad day.
She frowned when I took the bottle back. If only she would leave after our meetings. But there was no point kicking her out right this second. Our meetings were officially over. Otherwise my mother would demand my balls and my father would hand them up to her.
What's this girl's name again?
Natasha asked, rolling on top of me. Brushing her blonde hair back from her face, I thought of all the things I'd rather be doing than talking, but restrained myself. Melody Nietzsche Giovanni, I said, taking another swig. She pouted, and it was ugly. Most of her facial expressions were ugly, but I didn't keep her around for her face, or her brain for that matter.
Arranged marriages are so 19th century. How can you marry a girl you've never met before? You don't even know what she looks like. What if she's ugly or fat?
She asked. It would have been a good point, if not for who my family was and what we did for a living. I've explained this, Natasha. The Giovannis are one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful family in Italy and most of the West Coast. My father wants an end to the rivalry between the Irish and the Italians. So, even if she is ugly or fat or covered in bloody warts, I will do my duty and marry her. Pushing her off me, I rose to my feet. Cedric, my father, had spoken of this marriage for the past 12 years. I was only 15 and wanted to prove myself, so I was willing to do anything that needed to be done to make the family proud, like a bloody idiot. I should have just let Declan marry her, but he had already hacked into his first major Swiss bank account, robbing the Russians blind. Neil was too damn old, and had already found himself the perfect arm candy. Like all sons, we wanted to impress our father. I thought I had no other option, but, like I said, I was a bloody idiot.
You could just marry me. I'm 1/4 Italian.
Natasha laughed and rolled around in my bed. I was going to have to burn those sheets, or maybe get a new bed. Not even if hell froze over and my mother was 6 feet deep, I replied, grabbing a towel.
And why not?
She yelled, holding the sheet to her chest, as if she had any modesty to protect. I looked her dead in the eyes. Because you are a floozy, a manky, a hooer, a woman of no importance or brains with nothing to note but a good ass and a deep throat. I walked over to her and kissed the side of her cheek before holding on to her sweet throat. But don't be sad. We all have our roles to play, and you have played yours. Your services will no longer be needed. Letting go of her, I grabbed a few bills from my wallet and threw them in her direction.
I am not a prostitute, she held back a sob.
I couldn't help but smirk. I hated criers. Yet you're going to take the money anyway. I headed to the bathroom, and when she didn't reply, I turned back to her one last time. Leg it, babe. And if you think of taking anything other than the money I just gave you, I will not hesitate to kill you. Sweet throat or not. And I meant it. I was a Callahan. Our word was law in Chicago and on most of the East Coast. The police didn't even bother with us anymore. Hearing the bedroom door open and shut, I smiled to myself before jumping in the shower. It would be the last one until I met my future wife.
Did she like showers or baths?
I didn't care, but not knowing proved that I didn't know anything significant about her other than her birthday. February 13, 1990, and a few other small facts. Everything else her father kept buried. There were no pictures of her anywhere. No social media accounts or driver's license. Nothing. Not even a feckin' receipt with her name on it. She was a ghost. If I didn't know better, I would have thought she didn't exist. It made sense, though. I would do the same if I were to have a daughter. There were some crazy fucks in the world who didn't understand what it meant to be the offspring of a mafia leader. Family was everything. That was the one thing my father had drilled into our heads since we were children. Rule one, you kill for family. You die for family. Because you can't trust anyone else. In my awkward years as a preteen, some older fool had thought it would be funny to push me down a flight of stairs at school. That night, Neil and Declan burned his house down, but not before beating him within an inch of his life. When they came back and told Father what they'd done, he gave them the keys to the Porsche and told me to take notes. And take notes I did. Very good notes. That is the reason that I am now my father's right-hand man instead of Neil, despite the fact that he's older. Neil didn't mind, though. He was the muscle, while our cousin Declan was more behind the scenes. It worked perfectly. Rule two. Take no prisoners and have no regrets about it. Stepping out of my bathroom, there they stood. My father, brother and cousin, all dressed in the finest suits money could buy. Did you read the files I sent you? Or were you too busy with your hooer? My father asked, glaring at the files on my desk. He probably stopped when he saw no pictures. Declan grinned from the door as Neil snickered. As a matter of fact, I did. But I don't give a shit where she went to school or what her favourite colour is. The only thing I needed to know wasn't in that file. For all I know, Melody Giovanni could look like an Italian horse. Before I could walk to my closet, Cedric stepped in my path, standing just as tall as I. Father, have you forgotten what's at stake here? How? Do not interrupt me, he sneered, then added, you seem to forget that the only way you're going to be head of this family is through marriage. There is nothing there about her I care about. Grabbing hold of my neck, he glared, pick up the damn folder, son. Pulling out of his grasp, I saw Declan standing by my desk, ready to hand me the folder, while Neil stood just a foot behind, ready to crawl up my father's ass if necessary. I don't need the folder. I fucking read it. Melody Nietzsche Giovanni, age 24, born on February 13 in an unknown Northern California hospital. Only child of Orlando and Avelia Giovanni, who both emigrated from Italy as teens. Her mother died when she was young, and since then, Orlando has all but locked her away in a tower. She was homeschooled for most of her life until she went to a small community college in some nowhere pretty town called Cascadia in Oregon. I'm guessing that's where ice skating and glitter was invented. I waved Declan off before walking to my closet. I wrapped a red tie around my neck while both Declan and Neil snorted at my comment and my father stood waiting for more. Other than that, she's a fucking ghost. No photos, no fingerprints. Just fucking breadcrumbs up and down the West Coast while her father killed every rival Italian and Irish family within a 100-mile radius before taking over their streets. By the time we figured out it was them, the West Coast was completely cut off to us. None of our production could get in or out without being busted, the son of a bitch. And now they were working their way south, taking over the Mexican cartels. Italians always had to spread their shit and put their name on everything. The first and last time I met Melody, she was skeet shooting while her father and I discussed the possibility of this contract in his office. Not once did that dark little head of hers miss
and she was 9, my father said. Am I supposed to be impressed? Nervous? Elated? Thank God she knows how to shoot skate. She's still a woman like any other. He didn't speak, but walked across the room just as 3 noisy women began to pound against the door.
Liam, hurry up. You have to meet Mr. Giovanni in an hour.
My cousin's wife yelled from the other side of the door. There had to be a limit to the boundaries an in-law could cross. If Declan didn't care about her so much and she wasn't family, I'd be tempted to hurt her. Handle your woman, I told him. Neither of them made any sense to me. Declan was quiet, calm, and paler than snow, while Coraline was loud, outgoing, and, well, black. My father was pissed she wasn't Irish for about 10 seconds before he realised he had no room to talk, seeing as how my mother was a half-caste.
Liam, stop wanking off!
Olivia, Neil's ever-so-bold wife, said. All 3 were now infesting my room. None of you were invited inside. Olivia laughed.
We saw your harlot run out of here like a bat out of hell, so we figured you were getting ready.
Stepping out, Neil and Declan grinned like mad fools at their wives. If you care about their lives, you will get them away from me. Fast, I said through my teeth.
Are you threatening my daughters?
My mother asked.
Yes, as always,
Caroline said, laughing before giving her a hug. Of course my mother returned it. The traitor.
For the love of God, get out!
I was going to kill them all.
Don't raise your voice at me, young man.
My mother's green eyes narrowed, causing Neil to laugh outright.
Tell him, he said.
I pleaded with her.
Those damn eyes of yours,
she mumbled, and I knew I had won. Thank fucking Jesus.
I think we've all had our fill for now. Let's let the boy get dressed in peace, she said.
I would have taken offence to the boy comments, but I just needed him to leave without having to resort to deadly force.
Let us know if you need any help getting dressed, sweetheart,
she added as they exited. Where the fuck was I going? Prom! I am a grown man, mother. Her green eyes narrowed.
Real grown men don't use hookers.
At that, everyone laughed before closing the door, but I could still hear them.
This was another reason I needed to get married. You weren't a real Irish man until you had a wife. Without one, no matter what I did, I would never gain the respect that was owed to me. I would take this Melody Giovanni and form a woman fit to rule at my side. With her family's power added to my own, I would own it all before I was 30. The thought of that, and what else the future held, got my cock up. Only a small part of me cared if she was attractive or not.
Her last name and her loyalty would get me off just fine.
Thankfully, from what I was told, she already knew what her family was involved in. I didn't have time to train her on what to expect or why my clothes might be a little bloody sometimes. I straightened my tie before reaching for my gun and placing my brass knuckles in my pocket. Upon opening the door, I found my father waiting. Correction. Hovering. He looked me up and down before nodding in approval.
Rule 3. Just because you sell drugs for a living isn't an excuse to not dress well. Here are the Giovanni's updated finance and business records, he said before handing me a thick folder as we walked.
Him and his damn folders. How did we get these? I said without thinking, and then I answered knowingly. Declan is getting better.
He broke through the firewall this morning, while you were inside Miss Breyer.
He glared at me.
I ended it,
I said, once we reached the awaiting cars. My mother smiled, kissing us both on the cheek.
Hopefully. Otherwise, I will have to get involved.
He kissed my mother back.
Goodbye, dear. We'll be back in the morning.
I know the drill. Let me know when you've met her, she said,
once Neil and Declan entered their own car. We never used one vehicle. My father and I rode separately, while Declan and Neil rode together.
I climbed in the back seat of my black Audi and skimmed through the files, knowing that the moment we started to move, he would call. When my phone went off, the driver simply connected it to the car's Bluetooth. "Vanished?" my father asked me. I couldn't help but smirk. The bastard almost tripled his profits in less than a fucking year. He's also somehow gotten his drugs into Bolero territories, Greece, Russia and the damn Philippines. He has networks going through most of Eastern Europe, the little fucker, Declan stated to the radio. Apparently we were on a conference call. We had tried to get our drugs on that side of the world for the last 4 years, but the Bolero guarded it tighter than a daughter on spring break. There are three families stronger than all the rest. The Callahan, the Giovanni, and the fucking Valero. The Valero are nothing but snakes. No, worms, crawling in the dirt, eating their own shit. Most of them are Russian, some German, all thieves, stealing my property and selling it as their own. The man's got fucking horseshoes and a leprechaun up his arse, I said. That's the only way they could have pulled it off without the Valero filling him with bullets. Not to mention their numbers are growing. When I was in Mexico, I saw at least 20 of Giovanni's men guarding underground heroin fields, Neil said a bit too excitedly. Fucking underground? Can you believe it? I wouldn't even begin to understand the amount of science shit they need to make that work. Down there, the name Giovanni sends men running and pleading for their lives.
Time it, egg chase him. Hungerier.
We are falling behind, and I do not like to be behind. I will not sit idly by as they surpass us. Do you understand me? My father replied.
Liam?
I know, I sighed, for the last fucking time.
Don't fuck it up. With this marriage, we can steamroll the Valero and anyone else, my father added. Again.
Thank God the poor bastard didn't have a son, Declan said.
Nothing is final yet, my father replied. Even after Liam marries her, which will take a few days if your mother has her way, they won't just give us everything. It may take months to make sure it's our name that strikes fear into the hearts of men.
Liam, can you do this? You are very vain. What if she's not up to your mighty standards? Neil's tone was serious, and I wanted to bust a pipe over his face. Piss off! I wasn't going to fuck this up. They should know this by now. Orlando Giovanni's daughter was the key to every door. If she isn't up to par, I'll drink until I can't see straight. Or until I can convince her to see Olivia's plastic surgeon. I was only half joking. Ugly people don't have to stay ugly forever.
Fuck you,
he snapped.
Great, thanks, Liam. Now he's going to be bitching for the rest of the ride,
Declan sighed. Look how much I care. I nodded at the driver who ended our call. I needed a moment, but I couldn't shake the thoughts of the little Giovanni that was about to be part of my life. Taking the ring out of my jacket pocket, I stared at the massive diamond that would seal our fates. She was Italian, which meant Catholic. Just like us. And that meant...
Rule for no bloody divorce.
Let the games begin, I whispered to myself. I was going to make this work or die trying. And if she were anything like the females I'd had in the past, she would be dancing in the palm of my hand. And I couldn't wait.
Two. Even in killing men, observe the rules of propriety. Confucius.
Melody.
Miss Giovanni, we will be landing in... half an hour, the flight attendant stammered. Nodding, I simply raised my glass, but the moron was so scared he couldn't even pour the wine right. I narrowed my eyes at the red stains on my new white Armani jacket before glaring at him. I snatched the bottle from his damn hands.
I'm so...
Don't say sorry, I said in a low hiss. You aren't even on the threshold of sorry yet. His eyes widened before taking a step back and backing into Fidel, who already had a gun pointed at the back of his skull.
All we really need is the pilot, ma'am, Fidel said simply.
Stripping off my jacket, I stared at the moron at the end of the 9mm. He was young, only a few years older than I was. What would make him take a job as a steward on my jet? A better question would be, who cleared him to be a steward on my fucking jet? Things spoken in here were more sensitive than the damn Watergate tapes. Fidel, how did this fool get on my plane? I asked, only mildly interested, as Monty handed me another file.
His sister racked up quite a large debt. I do believe he's trying to pay it off,
he said, waiting for me to give the go-ahead. He was so trigger-happy sometimes. Is that why you're here? Your sister is a crack whore? He frowned, swallowing the lump in his throat before speaking again.
Crystal meth.
It's too early in the morning for blood. I shook my head at Fidel. He sulked for a moment, but did what he was told and lowered his Glock. If you want to pay off your sister's debt, it would be wise for you to stay alive and not spill my Romane Conti or ruin $900 jackets, I told him, before turning back to the file in front of me.
Yes, Miss Giovanni, it'll never happen again.
His voice sounded like a dying dog's. I almost pitied his sister. Was he all she had coming to her aid?
Count yourself blessed, Nelson Reed. 997-00-4279. 1705 Blue Ridge Road.
Fidel said, making sure the moron was aware that we not only knew his name, but his social security number and address. Just because we didn't kill him today didn't mean we wouldn't destroy his life tomorrow. Fidel sighed before taking a seat in front of me.
It was a nice jacket. You should have let me kill him.
My father wasn't pleased with the bloodstains I left in the last jet, I smirked, lifting a picture of my future husband. Husband. I cringed at the word. I wouldn't deny he was attractive. Highly attractive, in fact. But I would need more than green eyes, dark brown sex hair, and a charming smile. He wasn't very muscular, but he looked fast and strong.
His full name is Liam Alec Callahan, age 27. He graduated high school at 15, Dartmouth at 20,
Fidel said, sorting through the photos. Let me guess, top of his class, I added, waiting for him to pour more wine in my glass. Fidel did so before nodding.
But of course, nothing less than perfection for the Irish mutt. That doesn't only apply to the schools, but also their fancy $500,000 suits, luxury cars, vacations, houses, parties, and whores.
That got my attention. He uses high-end hookers? It shouldn't surprise me much. All men had their toys. I would have to put an end to it when we were married, but I understood. The marriage contract our father signed 12 years ago stated neither side would tolerate infidelity. It had less to do with romance and more to do with strategic reasoning. Hookers and lovers almost always led to the fall of an empire. The moment you became comfortable with one another, secrets were spilled and information was stolen in the dead of the night. It was just easier to do without it.
None that we could find. Instead, he just buys them pretty shiny things like diamond bracelets, expensive purses, or $1,000 shoes. They all like their shoes,
he said mockingly, sliding over photos of all the women Liam had been with. It was quite a list. At least he would be an experienced lover. Of course, that didn't necessarily mean he was good in bed. Is he clean? If he wasn't, we could buy whatever drug was needed. 90% of everything out there had a cure, with the right credit card.
As a damn whistle,
Fidel said, almost disappointed.
From his current health records, he's healthier than a racehorse, which is surprising with the amount of brandy he drinks. His beverage of choice, Camus Cuvée. He has a damn glass or even a bottle to his lips in every photo. He isn't depressed or alcoholic, he's...
Just Irish, I added. They could drink every day from dusk until dawn and still walk a straight line.
Exactly, from what I've gathered. He's the brains, and is also highly skilled in hand-to-hand combat, boxing being a pastime of his, It looks like Daddy Dearest has spent most of his time forging him to take his place.
Doesn't he have an elder brother?
Yes, he does. Meet Neil Aidan Callahan, age 31. Married to Malibu Barbie, a.k.a. Olivia Ann Coleman, age 29, 3 years ago.
He lifted up a photo of the happy couple. Neil was all muscle, with brown hair and hazel eyes, while his wife looked like a life-size Barbie doll. On her wrist was a small tattoo of a Celtic knot in the shape of an oak tree. A Dara knot, I told him as I looked over the lines. Fidel's eyebrows rose.
A what?
I did not repeat myself, but explained. It means internal fortitude. To remain strong regardless of the circumstances around you. It seems Barbie is not very fond of the world she lives in.
Well, she sure likes the money it brings her. She can't bite the hands that give her those nice Jimmy Choos.
Dropping the photo, I waited for him to go on.
As for her husband, Neil is also a proud graduate of Dartmouth. By the skin of a teeth, as it happens,
Fidel added,
and is also a world-class sniper. When he isn't killing people from hundreds of yards away, he's playing baseball. A lot.
So the brother is an idiot. Olivia's maiden name is Coleman? I repeated, focusing back on the wife as I took another sip. As in Senator Daniel Coleman. Fidel nodded, lifting up the photo of the man in question.
Yes, Senator Daniel Coleman. A right-wing conservative pushing for a smaller government, and I wonder why. Her mother is an active left-wing liberal blogger, which is why they are divorced. The former Mrs. Coleman is now helping the needy children of Africa as the head of the Callahan's Global Youth Charity. Both know about their daughter's new family and approve.
I couldn't help but smirk at that. Is it a real charity?
Sadly, yes. When they aren't stealing cars for the black market, organizing several murders for hire, or selling heroin, crack, and meth to Susie down the block, they're attending ballets and charity balls to better their community.
He shook his head. What about this one? I asked, pointing to the man beside Liam. He had the same green eyes as Liam. However, the man's hair was longer and a lighter shade of brown. I figured the African-American woman next to him had to be his wife.
Ah, Declan Alvin Callahan.
Why the fuck do all their middle names start with an A? I asked. Fidel looked around to see if he had the answer somewhere in his papers. I didn't need to know, but watching him squirm around was amusing. First-generation Italian, like myself, we looked a lot alike. The same olive skin tone, pitch-black hair and brown eyes. He was my right hand, and in some ways, that made him closer than a sibling. Nonetheless, I never wanted him to get too comfortable. No matter how ridiculous my question was, or how pointless it may seem, his job was to get my answer, or die trying.
It seems to be a tradition started in the 1840s, after the first Callahans came over from Ireland,
he said at last. Nodding, I waited for him to continue.
Declan Alvin Callahan, age 29, married to Coraline Wilson, age 25. He is the son of Cedric's older brother, who was set up by the Valero family 20 years ago and killed by Chicago PD in the crossfire. Since then, Cedric has raised Declan almost like his own. Coraline, the wife, is the daughter of Adam Wilson, big shot bank owner. From what we can tell, Declan was the one who hacked the system this morning, and is also who stole that $27 million from the Russians a few years back. Most of them still don't know he did it. Those who did know were killed off, most likely by Neil.
What a lovely family. Coraline, I've seen her face before, I stated, staring at the photo of Declan Callahan's wife.
Maybe that's because if Robin Hood and Mother Teresa had a daughter, it would be her.
I tried not to smile. Explain? He left a spread of photos across the table. In each one, Coraline was either feeding the homeless, giving blood, rebuilding homes, and so on.
She spends more time giving away all her shit than anyone in the family. Last year alone, she spent almost $9 million on charities and performed over 2,000 hours of community service. It's like she's...
Guilty, I stated. Giving was normal. Giving to make yourself look like a better person was normal. But this went way beyond that. That might be a problem. Both women seem to love the lifestyle and hate the life. Just great. Lifting the last set of photos, I knew who they were. The world knew.
Cedric A. Callahan, who is named after the first Callahan, age 54, his wife, Evelyn Callahan, age 51. They make sure their kids breed well,
he stated, placing the file down. Now, Fidel, it's wrong to judge, I grinned. The truth of the matter was that I was slightly impressed, and it took a lot to impress me. I could tell Liam's green eyes came from his mother, while his darker features came from his father. They were all quite good-looking, and from what I could tell, all was God-given, with the exception of Malibu Barbie. It was good, but I could tell she'd had work done. Nevertheless, they all looked hallmark ready. It was almost sickening.
Mom, why in the hell is Cedric stepping back and allowing his second son to take over? It makes no sense. I've checked into his health records, and he's fine.
I took my time drinking in the warmth of the wine as I stared at the photos. Fidel was right. People like us don't just step down. We didn't retire. We died, and someone tried to replace us. But I think I knew Cedric a little bit better. After all, my father spoke often of him. All I know is he didn't want to lead, but had no other choice after his brother's death. Now he's washing the blood off his hands onto his sons. He frowned, shaking his head at the photo.
The Irish and their fucking drama.
My father lost his elder brother as well, Fidel. We Italians have drama.
Yeah, well, they still need you more than you need them.
Are the wives involved in business? I asked, ignoring him. Evelyn looked too sweet to be packing, with her sandy brown hair curled gracefully under a large sun hat. But then again, it was my grandmother who had taught me how to fire my first gun. I was only 7. And I've never been without one since. Fidel huffed.
No, they prefer to keep their heads above ground. Planning parties, making sure everyone attends mass on Sundays, going to charities and monthly dinner parties. They all know and accept it with open arms, but they aren't on the same level as you, Mom.
Smirking, I shifted my gaze to him. And what level am I on? Fidel adjusted his tie before sitting straighter, his face void of all emotion, eyes almost black.
You, Mom, are ruthless, and not a soul on this planet would dare cross you. You would put a bullet in our heads if we were ever disloyal to you or the family. You are the boss,
he replied. When I glanced at the men surrounding me, they nodded, not making eye contact, but... aware that I was looking. It made me proud. It had taken a lot of blood, sweat, and no tears to make sure that they and everyone else knew that I was the boss. I may be pretty, I may be young, but I was also a Giovanni. Giovannis were, and always would be, beautiful yet lethal when crossed. Nodding, I leaned back in my seat, finishing my wine as we descended. I was the head of the Giovanni Empire now, a fact that no one other than my men and my father were aware of. The world still believed he was the boss, but since the age of 18, everything, the drugs, the hits, the money, had been run through me, because my father was dying. The great Orlando Iron Hands Giovanni was dying of stage 4 colon cancer. 90% of everything out there had a cure, if you had the right credit card. Cancer, however, was a self-righteous bitch that fell into the 10% that couldn't be bought. The irony was that most people in our world thought that sons were the only way to keep our underground empire growing. My father didn't. He felt he was blessed. The men in our family all seemed to die of the same cancer, but the women were made of tougher stuff. My grandmother lived until she was 104 before she passed away in her sleep, with a gun under a pillow. My mother died in a plane crash. I was 6 when I figured out what my family was. I was brighter than most kids my age, and at 7 years old I was learning to shoot my first gun. By 11 I was being homeschooled in college algebra, drug cartels, and, at my father's insistence, hand-to-hand combat. By 17 I knew the business like the back of my hand. Fidel was right. I would put a bullet in his head in the blink of an eye if he gave me a reason. And I liked Fidel.
Mrs. Giovanni, we are now in Chicago,
the pilot informed me as I rose from my seat. Monty, my bodyguard and third in command, opened the plane door and stepped out first, followed by 2 other men carrying my things. The moron, Nelson, stood at the front of the plane trying his best not to make eye contact with any of us as we reached him.
Have a good day, Miss Giovanni.
As I handed him my jacket, he stared at me wide-eyed. Take it to your sister and let her know how close you came to dying today. And while you're at it, go find your balls before I see you again. With that, I walked out and found a shiny black limo waiting for me. Stopping next to Monty, I tried not to roll my eyes. Where am I going? Prom? Monty, see if you can get me a car in white. And soon? I sighed. I did not want to be driven. I wanted to drive. I needed to drive. It was one of my 4 S's. Swimming, shooting, sex, and speed were the only things that could help clear my mind.
Yes, ma'am,
he said, pulling out his phone and already speaking to someone. If Fidel was my right hand, then Monty was my left. He was never taken by surprise. He didn't need to be acknowledged or even seen, and only spoke when necessary. Unlike Fidel and me, he was the only half-Italian. His blonde hair made him stick out like Donatella Versace at Walmart. His fix? He just shaved most of it off. Fidel stood beside me and handed me my personal phone. There was only one person who had the number. Ciao, padre. Calling to make sure I got on the plane? I asked while Monty and Fidel arranged for a new car. He laughed before coughing.
Il mia bambina dolce. I would never doubt you. After all, you were the one who renewed the contract.
The contract stated I would willingly marry Liam Alec Callahan, and therefore merge our families. Orlando and Cedric had signed the contract 9 years ago when they first created it. Then it needed to be signed by Liam and me on our 18th birthdays, and would be signed one last time during the first year of marriage. I did. Has he? I asked, just as a white Aston Martin pulled up in front of me. Smirking, I turned toward Monty and Fidel and nodded. That was much better.
No, not yet. But he, his father and brothers, will be arriving any moment to do so.
He practically coughed up a lung, but I was used to it. Taking the keys from Monty, I slid in and pointed for him to get in too. He'd done well. He could ride alongside me. So I am guessing that means he hasn't seen the change yet. This was going to be interesting.
You mean where you demand to be kept informed and in agreement with his future decisions involving the business?
Orlando laughed.
It will be quite interesting to see his reaction. This isn't a normal position wives play.
I snorted, pressing my foot on the gas as a row of black sedans followed behind me while I pulled out of the airport. It's non-negotiable. If he wants a stake in my empire, then I need to make sure that he doesn't destroy it. His brother hacked into our records this morning. They're aware of how much we're worth. He's going to sign, and he's going to accept that I'm not normal. I don't expect normal, I said, flying down the back roads that would lead to our Chicago home, despite the fact that we never spent any time in Chicago. Now I was stuck here.
You allowed them to hack into our records?
I couldn't help but smile. Monty looked at me while shaking his head, but chuckled as well. He knew what I was talking about, even if he couldn't hear the whole conversation. Declan was good. Great, even. He was one of 3 people who could crack my level 1 firewalls.
The second was dead, and the third was me. If Callahan didn't accept, which would make him an idiot, then I would have Declan buried right next to number two. I hated hackers who were against me.
My dear, if you were not my daughter, I would fear you.
I could hear the smile in his voice over the phone. It's because I am your daughter that you should fear me. In his day, Orlando could make grown men cry and beg for a bullet. If Orlando got his hands on them, pain was guaranteed.
You are one of the best that has ever been, but don't count Liam Callahan out. It may surprise you, but he is just as, if not more, ruthless than you.
He was right. Liam Callahan was a name many feared. He was known as the Boogeyman of the East, and I was the unknown Wicked Witch of the West.
Ma'am.
Monty cleared his throat, holding my work phone. I will see you soon. Addio, I said to my father before hanging up. Monty placed the phone on Bluetooth. Make my motherfucking day, I said, breaking the speed limit as I turned the corner.
With pleasure, ma'am,
Fidel replied.
Ryan Ross, Amory Valero's right-hand man, fucked up big and drove drunk. Guess who picked him up?
Fidel? I said, my tone laced with anger. He knew better than to ever play guess-who games with me.
As luck would have it, Brooks was the one who pulled him over, and he brought him to us. He's waiting in the room under the house, so drugged up he can't see straight. But he's still not talking.
Goodbye, Fidel, I said as Monty ended the call. I couldn't help but smirk.
Motherfucking day made, ma'am.
I just nodded. Driving closer and closer to my future husband, my empire, and some new intel. Yes, Monty. Motherfucking day made.
Three. Murder is born of love, and love attains the greatest intensity in murder. Octave Mirbeau. Liam.
Someone is just a tad bit presumptuous.
Declan snickered into the phone.
She's already packed, Liam.
And sure enough, when my car pulled up to the Italian-style mansion, I watched as some of Giovanni's men placed suitcases, what I figured were Methody's things, into a white Suburban near the far side of the house. When they noticed us, they finished as fast as they could and disappeared behind the tree sculptures that lined the back. They were all the size of Neil, and I couldn't help but wonder how they would fit in with our people. This would be the biggest merger the mafia world had ever seen. The Irish and the Italian were like the English and the French. We'd been fighting for generations. She's just like the rest of them, I said into the Bluetooth. In love with Daddy's credit card. But from the looks of it, she's no worse than Caroline.
Or your mother.
Declan said as the cars came to a stop. He couldn't deny his wife was a savage when it came to spending money. She held on to her plastic card with the jaws of life, and Declan, being the whipped bastard he was, couldn't bring himself to stop her. It would have been great if she actually spent the money on herself for the family, but no, she had to sprinkle it throughout the whole city, drawing unneeded attention at times. Neil's wife, Olivia, was the complete opposite. She'd walk right past a starving child and buy herself another pair of shoes. I, just like the rest of them, would have to allow Melody to shop herself crazy as long as I got what I needed. Hanging up, I tried to resist the urge to grin like a fool. Just from getting out of my Audi, I could feel the tides turn in my favour.
Liam,
my father said, stepping in line beside me.
You take the lead on this.
I'll not interfere with whatever happens from this moment on. If you do this, you will have successfully cleared all obstacles in our way, and I will allow you to take my place as Cana Canerta. However, until that contract is signed, they are still the enemy. Should you fail, seek comfort in your mother, for you won't find any in me. I wouldn't fucking think of it, I thought bitterly. Outwardly, I nodded and put my business face on. Declan and Neil mimicked my expression.
We had talked about the different scenarios this could come down to, and we were prepared for them all. Neil had four of his snipers outside, and Declan had jammed all frequencies that were not our own. We also had a car positioned less than a block away with men just waiting for the chance to clip the Giovanni's wings. They were the enemy until the contract declared otherwise. I was more than ready to get the paper signed and continue my blood ascension to Cana Canerta.
Incoming,
Neil declared from my left. The doors to the mansion opened, revealing an older, jaded-looking man with a scar that ran from his forehead to his chin.
Welcome, Callahans, to the Giovanni Villa. Mr. Giovanni is already waiting and told me to skip the formalities for the time being. I shall escort you to his office.
The older man bowed as though he had come out of Downton fucking Abbey. I knew Declan would have a laugh about that later, but for now, we were working. I nodded, not wanting to waste time with formalities either. We all knew why we were here, and there was no need to bullshit. Usually my father walked ahead of us, but since I was pint man today, I followed the old man inside first. The house was beautiful, rich and very fucking Italian, with vintage ceramic tiles, one too many statues, and the overwhelming scent of roses. It felt more like a museum of ancient Rome than a home. Finally the old man stopped, not bothering to knock before opening a door for us. Stepping in for the first time in my 27 years, I was shocked. It didn't show on my face, but internally, I was shocked.
If it isn't my favourite Irish crime family,
Orlando said, coughing and in a wheelchair. The man known as Iron Hands was gone. The Giovanni study was filled with ancient scrolls, floor-to-ceiling walls of books, with the exception of one large window, and 19th-century handcrafted furniture. However, nothing was more priceless than the sight of this old crippled man. His hairless face broke out into a smirk.
Cedric, you trained them well. They didn't even flinch.
I'm insulted that you're just figuring this out now, my father said, and with a sidelong glance I could tell what he was thinking. He was as shocked as we were. He just hit it well. In the mafia world, Orlando Iron Hand Giovanni was the stuff of legends. The things he had done could not be said aloud without making many people sick or causing them to piss themselves in fear. He was one of the very few men my father respected, and in some ways, dreaded. They both had a healthy fear of each other. But the man in front of me looked like he hadn't been in the same room as Iron Hands for years. This explained why he wanted this merger finalized, I thought.
Please, have a seat. The contract is on the desk, he said to us.
I knew my family wouldn't make a move. Only the Cana Canerta was able to sit down with the enemy. So, I unbuttoned my jacket as the rest of them flanked the sides of my chair. We've already read the contract. We simply wish to see your daughter sign it, I told him. In fact, I'd read it so many damn times I knew it line by fucking line.
Read it again. She has already signed,
he said through a barking cough. Tempted to lose my cool, I glared at Declan, telling him with my eyes to read it. He could read just as fast as I could, and I didn't want Orlando to see me bend to his games. I would play nice for now, but I was not above beating a man in a wheelchair.
Liam,
Declan snapped, handing me back the paper. It took me a moment to read over the two lines that had been changed.
You're kidding,
I snickered, handing it up to Neil and my father. You're asking that she basically babysit how I run my company. Orlando's brown eyes narrowed. The fact that he no longer had eyebrows only made him look more ill.
We'd prefer the term empire, he stated.
Of course you do. Fucking Italians and their empires. Orlando, and I will call you Orlando not out of disrespect, but because I know that by the end of tonight I will have a ring on your daughter's finger. Your daughter will want for nothing. She will be able to buy the sun twice over if she wants.
She will be taken care of and treated like every other Callahan woman, which is like bloody royalty. In my care, your empire will be treated with the same care and reverence. Orlando leered before crossing his weak arms.
Pretty words, boy, and I will call you boy because even if you were royalty, you would still never be good enough for my daughter. I did not ask her to babysit you. Melody is smart and will be more than useful. I have no doubt that the Empire will be just fine, as your brother saw when he hacked our records.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Declan stiffen beside me. No one ever knew he hacked into their files. It was then that I realized we had been set up. Orlando wanted us to see how much we would lose if we didn't give in. Orlando.
Don't try to sweet-talk me. I'm Italian. We wrote the book on it. So, take the deal or walk away. That's my only offer. And in case you haven't noticed, I don't have time to waste.
The old motherfucker cut me off. I slid my left hand down and felt the brass knuckles in the pocket of my pants. I wanted to bash his face in. The vein at the side of my neck pulsed thickly, as it always did when I became bloodthirsty. My vision began to cloud over with rage. I knew, without a doubt, my father was waiting to see what I would do. Whatever choice I made, he would back me up here and bitch at me at home. I would not let anyone show me up, much less an old-timer halfway to his grave already. Not here, not now, and not ever. The room was silent as I stood up, walked over to his stacked bar and poured myself a glass of brandy. He wanted to play hardball. So could I. How much does she even know about the company? Excuse me, empire, as you people call it, I asked him as I poured. Enough. Leering, I turned back to him. Enough. That's all you can give me. Orlando, meet me halfway here. You and I both know she may be smart, but no father would ever allow his little princess to say the things we say, or do the things we do.
She's a quick learner. Considering the women you've been with, is that not enough?
He had a point. Turning to my brother, I drank some more before leaning on Orlando's desk. It would be mine soon enough. Neil, dear brother, what do you think? I asked, taking Orlando's pen and pointing it at him. As long as she fulfills her other duties, why not? Anything she doesn't know, you can teach her. It may help bind you both together. I almost wanted to applaud him. I laughed at the thought. Sometimes Neil was just so wise. And Declan, dear cousin, what do you think about this rude last-minute shift in the contract? Declan grinned. Worse comes to worse, you have to waste 5 minutes explaining things to her. Plus, I kind of like the idea. Maybe if the women knew how hard it was to make a few million, they wouldn't spend it so quickly. We all laughed and turned to Orlando, who smirked at me with those damn chapped lips of his. I wasn't sure if it was because he agreed, or because all the cancer drugs were messing with his brain. Orlando Giovanni was harder to read than most. Well then, Orlando, I do believe I'll be marrying your daughter, I said, with no emotion in my voice. Declan handed me the contract again. Before the pen touched the paper, I stared at the meticulous script that spelled out Melody Nietzsche Giovanni. I wanted to see her first, but I signed anyway. My father had always told me to pick my battles so I could have enough energy to survive the war. There was too much riding on this for me to refuse just because I would have to get an okay from a little princess. Besides, once we were married, I would keep her too busy to care.
You aren't going to seek counsel from your father?
Orlando asked as I signed away my soul.
His bride, his choice,
my father said, speaking for the first time, and with just as much emotion as I had. None. My choice, it is, I repeated, handing the sickly man, my future father-in-law, the papers. We shook hands and I tried to force myself not to snap his in half.
I would like to see whom I have chosen. But, of course, he said, ringing a bell that echoed throughout the room. Finishing the last of his horrible brandy, I waited. When the door opened, I felt my cock try to detach itself. The girl who walked in was an ugly duckling with thick and messy dark brown hair, dark glasses and goddamn braces. Fuck it all to the seven levels of hell, my mind screamed. Just think underground heroin fields. When would you like that plastic surgeon's number? Neil murmured beside me. I could hear the laughter being held back in his voice. He cared about those damn heroin fields so much you would think he did fucking heroin himself.
Miss Bianchi, where is my daughter?
Orlando asked, and my blood pressure dropped while my cock rose in hope. I could have sworn I heard the old man snicker. Closest fucking call of your life, Declan uttered as we waited for the ugly duckling's reply. The timid girl glanced at us, but did not answer. Instead, she kept her eyes glued to the floor. If she didn't speak up soon, I would twist her ugly little head off.
It's a fine, Adrian. The man before you is Melody's fiancé. You may speak freely,
Orlando told her, while I was losing my goddamn patience. Bowing at us first, she rose and gave me her full attention, standing with so much pride it almost distracted from her appearance. Almost.
Good morning, sir. The boss is in a meeting in the basement, she said,
making us all freeze. Everyone in our world knew that fucking word. Is this some sort of joke?
Who do you think has been running things while I die, gentlemen?
He snickered before turning away from us.
If you don't believe me, you're free to go to the basement. But be forewarned, you won't meet a woman who needs to be taught anything. Benvenuti nella famiglia, Callahans.
Flaming, I turned back to my father who was still staring at the sick man in the chair. Did you know this? I glared at him, only to have him glare right back. Most days I knew my place under my father, but the tides were shifting. I was rising, and I needed to know if he had withheld information from me.
No, Liam, I was not aware. It seems to have been a well-kept secret, but does explain the recent growth of the Giovanni Empire,
he replied, seeming somewhat baffled at the thought of it as well. No fucking way a girl's been behind all this, Neil said, like a child. Take us to her then, I commanded the girl, and she nodded. I would see this Melody and find out if she truly was the boss they had dared to call her.
Cedric, may I share words with you for a moment?
My father nodded, no longer caring what I chose to do. One last time I turned to Orlando, who didn't even bother looking back as we left. It must have been a grim day for him. He would lose a company and a daughter. I didn't pity him, though. He'd be dead soon enough. The ugly duckling didn't speak or even bother breathing until we reached the end of a hall that was guarded by two of Giovanni's men. From the corner of my eye, I saw both Declan and Neil slowly reach for their guns. In Declan's left hand, his cell phone was ready to call in more guns if this was a trick. But my instincts and common sense told me that Orlando really was dying, and that he wanted to marry off his daughter first. What I didn't know was what to believe about said daughter.
Sir?
The man glanced at me before opening the door, only to reveal an elevator with Fidel Morris inside. He was the bastard son of Gino Morris, one of the fucking mutts who had the balls to break into our safe house and kill 15 of our men 16 years ago. It was the reason my father pushed for this goddamn contract.
This is as far as I can go, sir. It was a pleasure to be of service,
Adriana said to us, giving me a short bow again before stepping back.
Mr. Callahan,
the mutt said with forced respect, making space for us in the elevator. The moment we were all inside, Neil took a step next to him, clearly itching for an excuse to pull the trigger. He knew Neil was there, but did not say a word, or even flinch when Declan reloaded loudly. All any of us could hear when we stepped out of the elevator was a man gasping for air as water splashed around him. We were a level up from where they were waterboarding the man.
The basement was just one giant gem with a boxing ring in the corner. They had cleared everything on the ground floor to make room for their prisoner. As I stepped up to the rail, a few eyes fell on me. The men gave me a short nod as if they understood the shift happening within their company. Each one of them looked